When it's full of people and the Pope's there presiding in front of the tomb of Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, this great lover of Christ, completely in love with Christ, and the Pope's there as the kind of the visible focal point of church unity in a way, which is how we see him, we Catholics. You know, it's a very moving moment and it's a privilege for us to participate in it.
The Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls has been in the care of the Benedictines for 1,300 years. As monks, their lives are dedicated to prayer. Yet, during the week of prayer for Christian unity, the Benedictine tradition of hospitality is especially extended towards Christians of all denominations. For the monks, the week of prayer closes with solemn vespers on the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, Apostle of the Gentiles. This year, Pope Benedict will join them. Abbot Edmund Power tells us more of this special event.
Now, you and your community have been extremely busy during the past week because it's the week of prayer for Christian unity.
Yes, it's one of the busiest periods in the year, actually. Christmas and Easter, of course, are full of liturgy and lots of people in movement, but we're involved in a particular way in the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which of course culminates in the visit of the Pope, who will be coming this Thursday to the Basilica to celebrate Vespers of the conversion of St. Paul.
Now, it's actually not a specially organised liturgy. Most of it is taken from the monastic office.
What, you mean the Vespers for the
yes.
Thursday? Yes, it's very interesting looking at it. We have our monastic office is longer than the Roman office. We have five antiphons instead of three, but the three antiphons used for this office are the first three of the monastic office, as is the hymn as well. So, in fact, there is a sort of acknowledgement of the fact that St. Paul's is a Benedictine basilica and not just a papal basilica. So we're rather pleased about that.
And you've been there for 1,300 years.
Yes, the Benedictines were certainly established there under Pope Gregory II in the first part of the 8th century. There were probably monks or nuns there before, but the Benedictines are certainly there 1,300 years, so the place sort of is redolent with the Benedictine spirit.
And is this going to be the first time that the Pope's been to St. Paul's since the tomb was exposed?
Yes, the work on the tomb went on over the last 6 or 7 months and it was open to great acclaim and a lot of misunderstanding about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think the press around the world thought we'd finally discovered the body of St. Paul, but we at St. Paul's have known it's been there all along. It's just that the side of the sarcophagus is now visible. Yeah, the work done, I think, is very good and interesting, what's been done there, and it shows in quite a small area of the physically, geographically, it shows the history of the basilica and its development, so it's well worth seeing. But the last time the Pope came was the 25th of January, of course, last year, 2006, so he'll be seeing this for the first time. And the fact is, he sits right in front of the confessio, where the tomb is, facing the nave, where all the thousands of people will be, so it'll be right behind him, behind his chair. We don't know yet whether he'll want to go down into the confessio to look more closely, or just walk around it and glance as he goes past, but we hope that he'll actually see what's been going on there. It's very, very interesting. It's certainly worth going down, because you can see a section of the apse of the Constantinian Basilica, the first basilica of the year 320 roughly, and then part of the Theodosian Basilica of 390, and then most important of all, the side of Paul's sarcophagus. So it's a wonderful opportunity, in fact, also for veneration of the apostle, which was more difficult before because nobody was quite sure exactly where the body was buried. People always ask, well, where is it? Where is it? And you say, oh, there it is, under the altar. Oh, we don't see anything. Oh, it's under the altar. But now they can actually see it. So that's, I think, a help to people's devotion.
But during the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, you've had a wide range of groups using the basilica.
Yes, I don't know quite how it all began, but many years ago, at least under Paul VI, if not before, the Basilica became a place associated with the work of ecumenism, or praying together, and in particular associated with this week of prayer for Christian unity in January, which always culminates, the last day is always the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. And for a number of years, we've had activities each day during this week leading up to the Pope's visit on the 25th of January. When I first arrived a few years ago, we had a programme of activities which were very, very good. Each evening there was Mass and Vespers led by one group or another group, but they were essentially Catholic groups, which is good. We prayed together, the Cambonian missionaries, the religious and priests of the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Divino Amore in Rome, for example, the Collegio Beda as well, the Beda Seminary. And we all prayed together. But then gradually we tried to introduce into this other Christians. But of course, the problem with ecumenism is it operates on two levels, doesn't it? It operates on the international level of theory, but it also operates very much on the local level. And perhaps that's its most effective level. And doing ecumenism at Rome is not very easy because we're in Italy and the vast majority of the population are Catholic. So working alongside the local Christian communities, there are not all that many of them. There's a number, but not all that many. It's not like, for example, in England, where my earliest experiences of ecumenism, I suppose, were during the time just after the council when I was quite young. And, you know, we Catholics in our parish, we were a minority, but there was the Anglicans, the Methodists, the Baptists, and, you know, we did things together. There was a good spirit of ecumenism in that period, which has continued. But where Catholicism is so strong, or at least culturally, if not religiously, it's also strong religiously, but in Rome it's a little bit different. But what we've done at St. Paul's is, first of all, we invited other Christians, Anglicans, Orthodox, and so on, to come and participate with us in our Vespers on two or three of the evenings, and to contribute. So it was a joint Vespers. But this year we've gone one step further, and we've invited different parishes or communities to come and actually celebrate their evening prayer at which we are participating. So this time we had the Romanian Orthodox parish of Ostia near Rome. They came, about 50 or 60 of them, with their priest, and he celebrated an evening prayer in the Romanian Orthodox rite, and he led it all, and we prayed with them, but it was his celebration and his community. And then Monday night we had the Anglican parish of All Saints here in Rome. They did an evensong, which went very well, beautiful, nice to hear English music again in St. Paul's Basilica. And then Tuesday of the week we've got the Lutheran parish of Rome coming, and their pastor, and they will conduct their evening prayer according to their tradition, and we again will be present. And what I find quite moving, apart from praying with these friends they are now, because we've got to know them over the period, is that they're all quite moved by being in St. Paul's. We're the custodians. We Benedictines have been the custodians of St. Paul for, as you said, 1,300 years. So we are accustomed. It doesn't mean we love him any the less, but we're sort of used to having the tomb of St. Paul there. But it's a fantastic thing, really, for the Christian world when you think about it. I mean, Paul, with his the person who taught us to think and feel about the risen Christ. And when other people come, pilgrims from around the world, but also other Christian groups, they find it very moving being in the Basilica. The Basilica is very beautiful anyway, but being there in this particular Basilica with its particular Christological meaning. So that's another pleasure for us, that they really seem to like coming and praying in our Basilica. So that kind of hospitality is something that we feel is an important part of the week of prayer for Christian unity.